I saw that the minigun Frankfurt was that I came to a Shredder's Bachelor, Shabbos Parkin. Every time I Shabbos Parkin, the Baltfila would sing the Nusser of a Shredder's Bachelor to a minigun that was of the upcoming Yontif of that month. So, Kislev, he would naturally Shredder's Chanukah Niggin, and other and so on, each month, Nisan, the Niggin of that month. Of course, the problem that comes to Marchesh. What's the Niggin of Marchesh? What's the Nusuch of Shredder's benching of Marchesh? So it's brought down during the Minhagim of Frankfurt that they would, that the Baltfila would sing a Shredder's benching without the Nusuch. Of the Niggin that Jews learned to love. The Niggin of the love. How we learn. This time of the year, the song of Torah is the song that we sing. After the Yom Tov, past. This is the time. Tzaddik called the holy winter nights. Nights, time to learn. It's a Shalom Paris, it's a new year, it's a leap year. A hymn of time. I used to be really difficult, but what is it? It's a good thing that's important to talk about now, and I understand. At the very same time that the negative power begins, there are other songs. It's very, very hard. Very hard to remain faithful and loyal to the enemy's party. Zarche is destined to make a class of the father. And with each of the children that married, they share with them something that I saw. This small little sefer called Mishnas HaNazir. Some of you heard of Rav David Cohen. He's known as the Nozir. The Nozir was one of the greatest Talmidim of Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik L'Kavshel Livracha. The Nozir was an Ish Sodi, a man, a mysterious person, a Tzadik, who came from the world of Slabodka, a huge Talmud Chacham, suddenly disappeared into the world of academia, earned degrees by some of the most prominent professors in Europe at that time. And then something happened. He met Rav Kook in Switzerland when Rav Kook was in between. And he was transformed. And eventually, he followed Rav Kook back to Yerushalayim. And he became the Nozir Hashem, he became Tzadik Yisod Olam. In this little sefer, Mishnas HaNozir, there's a remarkable account of the dating and the actual chasana of the Nozir that I find to be one of the most inspiring things I've ever read. And it's chaval, there's no time, we would do it together, we would learn it together, it really needs to be learned. What happened was that at that time the Nozir was in St. Petersburg in the university. And he would spend every Shabbos with an uncle of his who was a big rav. And it happened that this uncle, in the home there was a cousin of the Nazir. And the Nazir's son, Reb Shai Yosef Cohen, is not embarrassed to say that his father and this cousin fell in love. His father was coming over, the Nazir was coming there, it was before he became the Nazir. He was going there every Shabbos. And he was there every Shabbos and Shabbos, and they were together. And it wasn't planned, But the two of them fell in love. She was an exceptionally learned and righteous person. She was herself in the university studying agronomy, agriculture. She was dreaming of one day moving to Eretz Yisrael. And the story goes on how Rabbi Yosef Cohen, Benozia's son, writes this, how it happened that because of the circumstances, they couldn't get married right then. His father went to Germany because he had to complete his coursework and his dissertation by a certain big professor in Germany. World War I broke out. Without going into all of the details, 12 years passed, and they could not get married. She was stuck in Russia. There was no way out. At that time, there was no way out of Russia. In the meantime, he was in Germany. He was able to get to Switzerland. In Switzerland, as I said, he met Rav Kook. And eventually, he was able to get papers to come to Yerushalayim. And only because of the efforts of Rav Kook and the protection that Rav Kook had, was he able to get out the Kala from Russia. Before she was sent to Siberia, they wanted to send her to Siberia. Rav Kook was able to bring her to Yerushalayim. And the Sefer describes how by this point the Nozer had become Nazir Elokim. And Rav Kook and the Rebbetzin and the entire yeshiva and the yeshuv of Yerushalayim was excited that the Kala was coming. And there was actually a Beis Din that got together that morning, led by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. The Beis Din got together by Merkez Rav Kook, by Rav Kook's home. Some of you have maybe been there. They got together, and they paskin that the Nozir was permitted to talk, because he had a Tanis Dibur, he wasn't speaking. And they released him from the Tanis Dibur, so he would speak to his Kala, who he hadn't spoken to in 12 years. It's very, very touching and very beautiful. Rav Kook is standing over them, trying to encourage the Nozir to talk. The girl, they're looking at each other with tremendous longing, and they both are crying. He still doesn't want to talk. All he can say, he says in Yiddish, have a drink of tea. She begins to become worried that maybe he got too religious for her over the past 12 years. It's kedai to look at this. Why am I telling this to you? And why do I share it with my children before they get married? Because I say to my kids, Kindelach, in this case it was my daughter, Chana Rivka, you see a story here of Ne'amanus, of faithfulness, of 12 years, and that's why Rav Kook told the Kala, you have to marry Reb David. You have no idea all that he's been through. And that all that you've been, and you've guarded that promise that you made each other as Chasan and Kala, that each one of them could have gotten married 100 times over. Each one was unbelievably eligible. The Nozir was sought after by some of the finest families in Yerushalayim, and she was a young woman that gave up those years of her life because she refused to marry anybody else. She had given herself, her heart, to the Nozir. It's a story of Ne'aman. Faithfulness and loyalty. Yesterday I spoke to some of the chevra in one of the shiurim about this. The Baruch Shem says to Avraham Avinu, Va'atas brisi sishmor. I want you to guard the bris. Va'atas brisi sishmor. Chazal say, Im atem mekayimim es hamila, atem nechnosim la'aretz. If you mekayim the mila, you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael. Im einatem mekayimim es hamila, einatem nechnosim la'aretz. And if you're not mekayim the mila, then you're not going to be able to come to the land. And the question that has to be asked is if there's one mitzvah that we keep, if there's one mitzvah that even Jews who are not religious try to keep, is the mitzvah of Bismillah. And despite that, Mashiach hasn't come, and Gula hasn't yet happened. And Eretz Yisrael, even though we officially are there, it's not ours.
We have to ask reshus from the world to build apartments. We have to have permission from the world to be able to go to the Harabayas. So it's not ours. But the schus mila, im atem mekaimim es hamila, atem nechnasim har. So the simple pshat, I believe, is, and I explained to the chevri yesterday, the simple pshat is this. The mitzvah of bismila takes a minute. You give them all the knife, you make him a shliach, he cuts, it's done. That's the mitzvah of bismila. It takes a minute. But there's something else that's called shmiras habris. It doesn't say imatem mekayimim mitzvah smila. You pay the oil a couple of dollars, and he cuts, and he removes the oil, and it's finished. That's not what Chazal are talking about imatem mekayimim mitzvah. Shmiras habris means this. Shmiras habris means asher kedishonim mitzvahis v'sivano lahachnisa bebrisa shel Avraham Avinu. To live in a covenant, to live in a bris, means that when you're going on the street, you're walking on the street, and there's something that you shouldn't be looking at, and the Bar Elam doesn't want you to look at. And at that moment, everything inside of you is pulling you to look at that. If you're a Shomer HaBris, you guard the covenant. Guarding the covenant doesn't just mean that you remember that when you were 8 days old, you had a bris, you don't remember anyway. And it's no big deal to get a bris. And even Jews who are not religious still do that. But to be a shomer habris, to guard the covenant, there are two parts to the mitzvah. There's the hasaras ha'orla, there's the removal of the orla, that takes a minute. But to be a shomer habris is the work of a person's entire life. It means that when you're sitting at a computer, you're sitting at an iPhone, and there's something there that you could press this button or that button, and it's not the right thing. The fact that you had bris milah 20 years ago is not going to help you. But if you're a shomer habris, that you guard the covenant, that you're faithful and loyal, that you gave your heart to the chosn, to the borei olam, that you're mekayim es hamilah, im atem mekayim es hamilah, atem nechnasim la'aretz. Geula, redemption, Mashiach, Yeshua, everything depends on kiyum hamilah. Living in that bris, living in that covenant with the Borei Olam. Living in a relationship, a living relationship with the Kadosh Baruch. That's called Shmiras HaBris. Guarding the bris. A person has a paper to fill out, a form. He could write something that's not entirely true. No one's going to find out. Unless the person that you're giving it to is hired by the FBI to find out. No one's going to find out. No one's going to know about it. But there's a chosn and kala. There's shmiras habris. Va'at is brisi sishma. Guard the covenant. Guard the bris. You gave your heart to the Borei Olam. It's not just a once in a lifetime. It's not just a Shmiyam Kippur. It's what is your life like on a winter in Kis, on a winter night in Kislev. In Teves, when there are a million things that are pulling at you, when you're worried about doing well on a certain exam, when there are a million things that are telling you not to learn, not to get up on time to daven tefillah b'tzibur, the question is, are you a shomer habris? Are you a shomer habris? You have a bris milah. But shmiras habris is la'achnisoi b'brisa shel Avraham Avinu. It's an underlayment, it's a different life. A Jew who lives in the bris is a different life. Marriage is also a bris. And that's what this is about. And that's what I tell the children before the chasna. It says in Malachi, V'charveta ve'eshes brisecha. Eshes brisecha. Eshes brisecha means when you get married, there are two things that are going on. By the chuppah, again, it takes 50 minutes, a half hour, depends how many kids you have marching down. It takes the whole thing 50 minutes, a half hour, and the chuppah is finished. Of course, the parents, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. But the whole thing takes a couple of minutes. That's the chuppah. Finish, it's done. The Ramah brings down a fascinating thing. He brings, it's very rare. The Ramah brings down in Ebenezer, he brings down, we know that even though Aisha Niknas B'Shaisha Drachim, that there are different ways to be kind of a wife by Kiddushin, but the minig is to be kind of with a tabas, with a ring. The Taimanim have a minig to put the ring into the Kais Yayin. There's a minig to be Makadish. The Ramah brings from the Tikkun Ezayit and Tikkun Ches. Al Pisoid, there's a minig to be Makadish Davke with a Tabas, Davke with a ring. And there the Zohar says a very deep thing, why Davke with a Tabas? The Sefer Chinuch says the simple pshat, to Makadish with a Tabas, with a ring. Because if you would just be Makadish with Kesef with money, the first thing that a woman does with money is spend it. So to be Makadish with Kesef wouldn't be any kind of a lasting thing. But when you Makadish with the Tabas, the Chinuch says, she holds on to that as a miscarriage, as a reminder of who is her husband, who does she belong to, who's her life. So Am Yisrael has accepted the minig, the Chol Mekoymes, the Surayim to be Makadish, Davki with the Tabas. Davke with a ring. Tabas is Loshen of Teva. It means that the relationship is something which is Tiv'i. It's Ki'ilu, which is who you are. It's Ki'ilu by the Chuppah. The Karla is saying to the Chosin, it's an easy thing. Harema Gudesh is leaving Tabazu. The whole thing takes a minute, the Kiddush. But what's going to be 5 years from now when you're sitting in your office and there's a pretty little secretary at the next desk and she's starting to flirt with you? Then it's a question of Atas Brisi Sishma. Are you a Shema Habris? Where are your eyes? Where's your head? Where's your heart? Are you a Shema Habris? I know you married me. I know that it was Kiddush Moshe Yisrael. Harem Kodesh is leading. The Tabas is something which lasts. It's real. It's permanent. She holds on to it. I mentioned yesterday that it's brought down in the Sefer Chupas Chasanim. A remarkable thing. Why is it Makadish Davke with Makadish on this finger, to put on the Kala's finger? And the minig was in most places, it should be a Tabas of gold, of Zohar. So when we say the Kipitl, where it says, Anachmodim Yizorah, we say over there, Taurus, you start counting to me, Taurus Hashem, Tamima, Yeshivas Nefer, Taurus Hashem, this is the first one, Taurus Hashem, is Hashem, is with this finger, Tamima, Yeshivas Nefesh, Eidus Hashem, Nemoni Machim is Pesi. Again, Pekudei Hashem. It's always with this finger. Till you come to what? Till you come to Hanechmod and Mizor, you keep on counting, Mizor is also with this finger. So Chupas Chasanim says that you put the Tabas Shel Zohar on this finger, the finger that's pointing to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Teres Hashem to me. But on another level, it means that a person, the Chasna Kala, are pointing to each other and saying it's only you. And from now on, there's nothing else. Chevel, there's a lot more to talk about than Rabbi Penner is supposed to speak. The test of one's faithfulness to Torah is now. Sukkot, Yom Tov, Chanukah, Purim, there are special elevated times of the year. But the measure of whether you're a Shema Habris is dafka during the times of Cheshvan, Kislev, these times, Teves and Shvat, the winter months, the long zman. Are you a Shema Habris? Are you faithful to the Gemara? Are you faithful to Tefillah B'Tzibur? This is the time where we see who you are. I'll end up telling you my son. This time you heard of Rabbi Yitzchak from Vurka. Rabbi Yitzchak Vurka had an inical, the tzaddik was called from Skernovich, Rabbi Shimla. This tzaddik of Shimla Skenevitz was like all the other members of the family of Vorkev Amshnev, an unbelievable Oiv Yisrael. An Oiv Yisrael. Amshnev is the Indian of Ahavis Yisrael. If any of you have been to the Amshnev Rebbe, this whole Metzias is Ahavis Yisrael. Amshnev, Vorkev Amshnev is Ahavis Yisrael. So this tzaddik of Shimla had a chassid who found out what happened is this chassid's daughter ran away. She ran away with a guy. And they went to this guy's town, and there they went to the church, And it was arranged, apparently she had fallen in with this guy, and she was going to get converted. She was going to be converted, and then she was going to marry this guy, her boyfriend. And the chassid came and told Reb Shimla, I don't know what to do, my daughter has gone with this guy and she's going to convert, and what do I do? And Reb Shimla said, where is this place, what town is it, where is the convent or whatever, where is the church? And the chassid told Reb Shimla where the place is, and Reb Shimla went with his gabbai, and he went to that place, the corner of the church. Listen to this. And when he saw somebody like a worker come out from the church, Reb Shimla gave him a couple of rubles, and he said, go to the girl that's there, the Jewish girl, and give her this note. On the note it said, I, Shimla of Skernevich, I'm waiting for you. I'm outside waiting for you. That's all it said. And then Reb Shimla stayed there with his gabbai, says in the svar. He had to wait there. He was waiting there for 3 days. He didn't go to anywhere. He davened on the street. He stood on the street corner there, and the gabbai gave him a chair, and Reb Shimla was there for 3 days. It was after the third day at night, in the middle of the night, there's a noise, and someone's running out, the girl's running out, all covered up. And she comes over there, and Reb Shimla is with the gabbai on the corner, and she says, Rebbe, I'm here. And Reb Shimla says, one more guy, let's go, run. And the three of them start to run, and they run, and they run, until they get to the forest. And Reb Shimla says, You came. How did you know that I was going to be outside? How did you know I would be? So she said, Rebbe, I knew that you would never, ever leave. I knew that you were waiting for me. And I kept on thinking about it, and that's why I came. You know what that means? Ne'emanus, faithfulness. When you get up in the morning, you know that the Baruch Hu was waiting for you. He would never leave you. When you have a seder and learning, you know that the Baruch Hu was waiting for you. It's a different life. It's the life of a Shomer HaBris. That the Baruch Hu is waiting on the corner for us. Hashem HaZoh should help. That we should use this time in the best way possible. And if we're Shomer the Bris, if we guard the Bris, then Hashem will be Shomer HaVtechos Li Yisrael, the promise that He made to us. And we'll be Zeicher for that time. To come as Baalei HaBris, to come into Yerushalayim with the Ruach HaMavitis, maybe on Eilat.
Thank you very much.